Hi. Hello. Okay. My name's Alicia. I just have a 3-minute plug to put in here.
3 minutes?
3 minutes. It's about the best week of my life that I get to do every year, and I wanted to invite you to join me and a couple other people to do it too. I don't know if anybody's heard of RFKC, Royal Family Kids Camp. It's a camp, a national camp, headed by churches that is geared towards children in foster care from ages 7 to 11. And the church I participate at with it is Jefferson Baptist. It's actually where we planted our church from here. And so there are actually several people in the congregation who have done it. Riley in the back with a beefy beard back there. Seth right here has done it. And JJ and Sharon Jones have led worship there for the kids every year. And this year is our number 10 year, actually. And I'm up here to let you know about it because we're actually having a really hard time finding volunteers this year. We need everything from counselors who are with the kids for 22 hours a day. And we also need relief counselors. They're the people who come in at night to hang out with the kids for 2 hours so that the counselors can go take a shower and make their phone calls and read their Bible. So we need lots of volunteers. They're usually called grandparents or or aunts and uncles for the relief counselors. But our ages are 7 to 11, and they're both boys and girls. And the thing is that we can't have the kids come, the campers come, unless there are volunteers, because there's a legal ratio we have to have from 2 adults for 4 children. And so if there are no volunteers, and there's no, we have to turn away children and not let them come to camp. So let's see what else. It's in Falls City at Camp Tapawingo, if any of you know where that is. And it's the first week of August. And all of your expenses are paid for. If you try to volunteer for this camp at another church, you generally have to pay out of pocket anywhere from like $500 to $1,000 to just volunteer. But they've raised funds enough that if you as a volunteer want to come, if you can take it off work, you're paid for. And let's see, I think that covers it. They have art, archery, swimming. Like I said, if you want to talk to anybody, you can come talk to me or JJ in the back or Riley and Seth. They're all experienced. They have lots of stories to tell you, especially in the boys' cabin. If you want my phone number, it's 541. I don't know if you have a pen. 990-9549. Okay. Just come talk to me. Yeah, it's the best week of the year for me, and we need you. So any questions?
Dates, first week of August.
Monday
through Friday, that first week. 2 o'clock Friday afternoon. Okay. I've volunteered at it. Yvonne and I have been at a couple of those, but we were there for about 3 years in a row. And tremendous time, great time. And it's kind of a unique experience because if you've ever been involved in Christian camping before, like doing camps for kids, it's usually a much larger ratio. Like you have a cabin with like 25 kids and you're the counselor and it's kind of gets crazy and everything. In this case, it's a much smaller ratio. So you get to really interact and get to know the kids. So it is a tremendous time, a great opportunity for you to volunteer. Obviously some serious special needs with these kids, a lot of abandonment issues, those sorts of things. And so people participating in that would be really grateful. Right. So if you are wanting to go, let her know as soon as you possibly can because there is training that is necessary before you can go to it. Okay. June 19th, coming up really quick next week, we're going to be doing a baby dedication. It's on Father's Day, and so come next week. It should be just a tremendous time where you have several babies that are going to be dedicated to the Lord, families that are dedicating to serve God in raising their kids. Also, the 26th, the week after, we're going to be doing a potluck after church, and so these potlucks are just a great opportunity for us to connect. a lot of us don't connect outside of the church on Sunday, outside of Sunday morning. There's not a lot that all of you have interacted with each other. We are a young church, and so it's kind of bringing a bunch of people together who didn't have past histories with each other. And so these sorts of events, like a potluck and stuff, and just sitting and talking with people who you may not know, is a great opportunity for us to grow closer together as a church. Also, we have a deadline coming up for that same Sunday, the 26th, is the deadline to sign up for the Mexico mission trip. And so there's a flyer over there that talks about the Mexico mission trip and talks about what we're doing down there. There is a lot that is going on down there. So if you're following on Facebook, the orphanage, or if you're following Jose Navarro, which is the leader of that, we've he's been going great guns on that project. And so we're really excited. We've been partnering with some folks down there along with the orphanage. We kind of have a challenge of raising 500,000 pesos in the U.S. before they raise 500,000 pesos in Mexico in order to build the project. Essentially, comes out to about $20,000 that we're trying to raise before they raise $20,000 for this project. And so we started that effort or continued our effort with that project last week, and we did our special offering, and our goal was $18,000, and I believe we've matched it. So we've hit that goal, $18,000, and so super excited about that. And so we're going to be able to minister to a lot of people, not only in Rosarito, Mexico, but also here in the Salem area. And so, in fact, we've actually exceeded our goal because we have another $1,000 grant that's coming in to match that mission down in Mexico as well. So praise the Lord on that. That's super exciting. I'm really looking forward to seeing what God does with that. Also, we have this next Saturday morning. We had, I'll just say it. So, this next Saturday morning, those of you that may be interested, feel like God has given you the gift of teaching, giving you the gift of preaching, teaching, those sorts of things. God has blessed our congregation with a good number of people that have this ability and that have been gifted in this area. And so we want to invite those of you that are gifted in that area, believe you're gifted in that area, to come to a breakfast at Paul's house this next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. It'll be an hour long. And the breakfast will be provided. And if you can't make that meeting, we will have a subsequent meeting after another time that we're going to connect. Yeah. You can come if you'd like to, JJ. Yeah, just bring a lot of gifts and muffins. Anyway, we also have a summer schedule is coming up, and so pay attention to that. It's going to look a little bit different, but just look in your bulletins for that information. And then last thing I want to say is tonight we have our prayer time together as a fellowship, as a family. Last week we had a great attendance at our prayer time. It's the most important meeting as way of life. It is the most important meeting that we can have together, meeting together, praying together for our fellowship. And so please try to put that in your calendar as a regular meeting for you on Sunday evenings at 11 p.m. or 11 p.m., 7 p.m. at our house, 11 p.m. It's really, yeah, we have a great time. Late night prayer sessions. Those are good. So 7 p.m. Tonight at our house, make sure that you join us for that. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to introduce Sergio, who's going to come up and give us the message this morning. And so let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. We give you praise and thanks for who you are and what you're doing in our fellowship and our family here at Way of Life. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless this fellowship. Continue to bless what we're doing here, Lord. Father, we just desire not to turn to the left or to the right of what your will is, but to live right in the center of your will. Lord, I just pray that you would be with Sergio and that you would bless his message this morning. And I pray, Lord, that your hand of protection would be on our church family here, Lord. May we hear what you have for us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Sergio is going to tell, you're going to tell him a little bit about yourself, right?
I can, yeah.
Okay, go ahead and do that. Thanks. Everyone, give Sergio a hand. Make him feel welcome.
So like Chris said, my name is Sergio. I actually born here in the United States. I grew up in Madras, Oregon. Anybody know where that is? Okay. Then you know it's a beautiful place to go visit. So I grew up in Madras. When 3 days after I graduated from high school, joined the military, ended up going to Missouri. I commissioned out of Missouri as an Army officer and then came back to Oregon where I attended Corbin and graduated from Corbin. So just a little bit about myself. My wife, Katie, is right there. For those of you that don't know her, yes. And what else do you guys want to know? Okay, I think we're good. So why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll just get started with the message. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for this morning. Just thank you for everything that you're doing. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness towards us, Father. I just ask that you be with us this morning as we dive into your word, and just help us be good listeners to your word, and also help us apply your word to our lives, Father. Let us bear good fruit, Father, and let us be people of faith, people that are committed to you. In your name we pray, amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open to the book of Luke chapter 8. And we're going to go ahead and start on verse 4. Luke chapter 8, verse 4. And as you guys are looking for that passage, I just want to give you a little bit of context as to what is going on in this section of the Bible. By now, Jesus had gone to many places and preached the gospel. In fact, he had been to Judea, he had been to Jerusalem, and many other places. And a large group of people would gather to these places to listen to what he had to say. Not only was Jesus a good teacher, but he was also a good giver. Now, at this point, Jesus is talking to a multitude of people, and we see that in verse 4 of this parable, which is known as the parable of the soils. Verse 4 says, when a large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil. As soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell onto the good soil, and it grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There are a couple of things that strike me about this passage. The first is that we find Jesus around this large crowd. It was such a big crowd that he had to actually hop on a boat and project this message from this boat while he was at the Sea of Galilee. All of his hearers were people who had already listened to him. They had already heard from him. And that is why he says that phrase, "Those who have ears, let them hear." There was something going on in this passage that the people are just not getting. Jesus is proclaiming something he had perhaps proclaimed before about the kingdom, yet these people are dull of hearing, unable to understand the message. A lot of these people were Jews, Pharisees, scribes, specifically the Jews who we see were the chosen people of God are rejecting this message that Jesus is proclaiming. And we'll see that as we continue through the passage. The parable is not focused on the sower, which is interesting. The book of Mark declares that the sower is Jesus. However, the emphasis is not on Jesus in this passage, nor is it on the seed. It is about the soils. And as we read through the passage, you might have noticed that there are four different types of soils. What is the first type of soil you guys see in the passage? That's a question. Yes, it fell on the side of the road. So we see that the seed actually represents the gospel. So when this seed is being thrown out, okay, imagine this farmer. I don't know if I grew up in Madras, like I said, so I've seen a lot of farming. And I also did some farming in Mexico, which was very, very ancient techniques of digging through the dirt and making it flat, taking out rock so that it was prepared for the seed. And what you notice about this passage is that there's this sower, or here is Jesus walking by, preaching the gospel to a different groups of people. Yet what we learn from this passage is that some fall on the side of the road. Now, the side of the road is hard because it has been trampled by people. It is hard dirt. The second thing we see is that within these four categories, there is only one group of people who actually bear fruit. So you have four different groups. One of them actually bears fruit. As a person who preaches the gospel, and those of you who are teachers or evangelists and love teaching about God, this might be a little overwhelming. Because what the passage is saying is that there is going to be a time when you preach the gospel and most people who hear it are going to reject it. Out of these four groups, one group listens and bears fruit. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. This is what it says: "For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." So we see this in other parts of Scripture. It's talking about this gate, and it's talking about only a few amount of people entering through this gate. So it makes sense when we look at this parable. It makes sense, and we are able to understand that a few people will actually come to saving faith. And as we dig deeper through the passage, we'll learn a little bit about the people who reject Christ. One of the other things that strike me, which we did not read, is in verse 9, where it says his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but the rest of it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." This was a type of judgment towards these people. It might seem unfair of Christ to reveal this to a certain people and not to others. But as we talked about, or as Chris talked about 2 weeks ago, there is a group of people that will believe, and there is another group of people who will not believe. It is a superficial faith. And so this morning, I'm asking you to just dig deep into your heart as we dive into this passage to try to understand what category you might fit in. What category your family, maybe somebody from your family that you love fits in. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Why would Jesus say that? Again, he knew that some people were going to reject his message. Something important about this seed is that when we think about the gospel and we think about the word of God being proclaimed, the seed has all the potential to transform the life of a person. So if the seed is a gospel and you listen and you receive it, you will be transformed. So now let's dig into the message. Verse 12. This is where Jesus is going to go ahead and explain the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. This is the first thing that we see as the revelation that Jesus gives to his disciples, and that is that the seed that falls beside the road is the seed that when the devil comes and it's the seed that lands and the devil comes and snatches it away. In other words, the gospel does not penetrate the heart of the person. It just lays there and is trampled, and the birds of the air come, take it away. In other words, these are people who resist God. These are people that we see in the book of Romans chapter 1 that basically reject God. Knowing God, they reject God. Having knowledge of God, they reject God. Every man does what is right in his own eyes. How many people like that do you know? People that do what is right in their own eyes. These are, I've had many conversations, and these are the people that say, it's nice that you believe that, but it doesn't work for me. I don't need Jesus. I have everything I need. I have money. I have nice cars. I have a good life. I don't need Jesus. I'm happy where I'm at. How many of you have heard that from friends or family members? What about the people that say, I don't care. I don't want to hear it. You keep focusing on Jesus and we'll no longer be friends. In other words, if you keep forcing Jesus on me, I won't be your friend because I don't need a Bible thumper to come around and tell me what to do. I've encountered those people, and some of those people are my friends. There's no conviction of sin. And there are people across our churches in America today who come to church but don't believe. In other words, they come to see what it's all about but don't care necessarily about the Word of God. They walk away with nothing. And it's interesting, if you see a person going and sowing the seed, as he's sowing the seed, he has his back towards where the seed has been thrown. And as he has his back turned to the seed, the birds come and take it away. So it's a process, it's a quick process. As soon as the seed is thrown, before you can cover it with the dirt, the birds are there snatching it away. That's what the enemy does. He is prepared. He is ready. He is armed to destroy. And he will, at any chance, go and attempt to take the seed away, the gospel. Verse 13, those on rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Man, I struggle with this one. I struggle with it because it's, as a former youth pastor, I would see young kids come to Jesus. They were so excited, so into it. They were like, man, can I get a Bible? Can I, you know, I just want to know so much about Jesus. I just love Jesus. I'm committed. I'm in. I'm 100%. But the parable, it says that they believed for a while. But after temptation came, they fell away. Have you ever heard or seen someone full of energy for Christ, but when things get difficult, they go away? I think we see that a lot in our churches today. When things get tough, they just leave. When they really count the cost of following Jesus, they wither away. When things get tough as persecution and affliction, they disappear because there was no genuine faith. Their faith was not on Christ, but rather on an emotional experience. This is what I call the concert effect. It's when you go to a concert and you're super excited about the band that's playing music, and you're so energized and you're pumped, and you're like, man, I'm going to go home and I'm going to love on Christ because he's been so good to me. It's a contra effect, but after a while, it just fades away. And what's interesting about this group is that there's no resistance like there was with the first group who rejected Jesus completely. There's no resistance at all. They love to hear about grace. They love to hear about heaven. They love to hear about the forgiveness of sins, about love, about how to parent their children in a godly manner, and how to be a good husband or wife. And they love to hear those things. Yet, after a while, we realize that it's just an emotional effect, an emotional expression that they had at that moment. Verse number 14. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go into their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Again, I struggle with this because something interesting that happens with this group of people is that there is not an immediate rejection of Christ. It takes time. Time tells whether or not they are true followers of Christ. These are people who become obsessed with the things that this world has to offer, riches, fame, whatever it might be. Other things appear to be bigger and better, so much bigger and better than Jesus, that they decide that that's what they want. The thorns choke their faith. Again, it's a slow process. It's not immediate. It's a slippery slope. You don't see it coming. It's like an ambush. It's a surprise attack. And before you know it, you've walked away from the faith. You've walked away from Christ. You see, this is the young rich rulers, or the young rich ruler that Jesus was talking about when Jesus said, sell everything you have and follow me. It sat in his heart that Jesus had said that, because in his mind, he had done everything he needed to do, and all he was asking Jesus is, what do I need to do to be in? What is it? And he says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And as if you are familiar with that story or that parable, he walks away from Christ. It says that he went away grieving because he had much. You can't have one foot in the Word of God and the other foot in the world. See, it's like this spiritual fence, and you can't straddle both sides of the fence. Either you're for Christ or you're against Christ. Either you love Christ or you hate Christ. There's no in between. Either you serve one master or you hate the other. But there's good news. Verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. That word perseverance is a word that allows us to understand that there is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, there will be times of difficulty. There will be times of suffering. There will be times of persecution. But we are to persevere through those things if we are in Christ. That means when things get tough, we don't run away from God, but rather we hold our ground and we keep pushing forward. When we look around and we see all this temptation, everything that the world has to offer, we walk away from it to follow Jesus. We pick up our cross and we keep pushing forward. We keep pressing on. In times of affliction, we remain faithful. They are running the race. The race that the Apostle Paul talks about. This race that at the end of it brings a great reward for those who have faith in Jesus Christ. These are the people that enter through that narrow gate that we talked about in the book of Matthew. They enter through that narrow gate because they never walk away from Christ. So I want you to reflect on your spiritual condition and your attitude towards God this morning. And as you do so, I want you to think about the different idols that are in your heart. What are the things that are in your heart that are keeping you from loving Christ? Is it money? Is it the distractions of this world? Is it family that is saying, hey, you don't need Jesus? Why do you go to church? Just stay home. Just take the day off. Now let's have a barbecue. Let's just chill. What are the idols in your heart, or what are the things that are keeping you from listening? Because the scripture clearly says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. In other words, I want you to really pay attention to what is being said. And I don't just want you to hear it, but I really want you to hear it. In other words, I want you to understand what is being told. See, we have the benefit of going to the Bible and understanding the parable that Christ gave us. We have that benefit. The people back then, although they heard, the parable was not explained to them. It was only explained to the disciples. So we have the benefit of being able to understand the mind of God, and it's all in here. We understand the mind of God through the scripture, through the Spirit of God who convicts us. So what are the idols, what are the things that are keeping you from listening, from following Christ in obedience? What type of soil are you? Where do you land this morning as you look back at your life? If you're a parent and you have children, where do they land? How are you ministering to your children? How are you going and planting the seed, the gospel? You see, because although Jesus is the sower in scripture that we see, we have been called out to go and proclaim the gospel as well. And we see that in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, where it says, go make disciples. Baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach him to do all the things that I have taught you to do. And so when we look at that, we have been called to also go and cast this seed, which is the gospel. And so the question is, if you're a parent, are you doing it with your children? Are you casting that seed? Or are we being passive about it? Are we just hoping that church is going to be enough? Are we just hoping that they're going to get it somehow later on? Somebody else is going to teach them. See, we all have a responsibility as followers of Christ to go and preach the gospel, and it's why we do missions, because we want other people to come to a knowledge of saving faith. It is why we do evangelism. It is why we take every thought captive and give a response to those who have questions about Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15 talks about that. So what is your spiritual condition? See, the thing about this passage is that we realize that God cannot be fooled. He knows everybody in here. In fact, the book of Psalms, Psalms 139, says it clearly when it talks about how well he knows us. And I'll just read a few verses. It says, O Lord, you have heard, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted in all my ways. Even before there's a word in my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. In other words, God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He is in all places. There's nowhere that you can hide. And there's nothing that you can keep from God, because he knows all things. And he knows those that are walking around with counterfeit faith. And so I struggle with that because as somebody who enjoys to preach the Word of God, I struggle because I love people so much that I want everybody to know about Christ. I want everybody to understand who he is, what he has done, and what are we to do as a response of who he is and what he has done. If you're sitting there right now and you're thinking about this and you're wondering, man, I don't know which side I land on, I would ask you to pray in your heart and ask God to guide your steps. Pray in your heart and ask God to lead you in paths of righteousness, paths that will lead you to him, because there is only one way, and that is through Christ himself. There are no shortcuts. There are no other ways to get around it. There's only one way, and that is through the person of Christ. We all have ears to hear, but not all have a spiritual ear to hear it and deep inside their soul. The physical is not the same as the spiritual. We can fake it all we want, but we can't fool God. And we can be like the third soil, the one that fell among the thorns and was choked out, a person that deceived themselves. But at the end, had no saving faith. But again, I say, there is good news. There is good news because we have the gospel. There's also good news because we have the Spirit of God with us in this world. There's also good news for those who endure this race, because one day, all of this suffering, all of this pain, all of this hunger, all of this thirst will pay off. When we go face to face before God and receive our inheritance, these crowns of righteousness that will take off, bow before the Lord, and we'll use them as a form of expression because he is good. So what are you to do today? Check your heart. Check to see how you're raising your children. Check to see what kind of advice you're giving people or what advice you're taking. And also, pray that Christ remove those idols from your heart that can make you wander away from the faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for everything you have done, and thank you for your word. I know that this is a tough passage, and it's a passage that a lot of the times we just try to move past or take lightly, but it's a passage that if we will understand, we all understand the rest of these parables, Father. If we get that this parable is about your kingdom and about doing your will, Father, and if we get that it's about reflecting upon where we are in life, and if we get that it's about you, Father, and if we get that it's about following Jesus, then we will understand the importance of who you are. And so we just ask that you would weigh upon our hearts who you are, Father, what you have done for us, and what are we to do as a response of those two things, Father. And then, Father, I just ask that you lead us on paths of righteousness. Do not let us be swayed by the things of this world, and do not allow us to be conformed to the things of this world, which are folly and will wither away, Father. But rather, let us keep our eyes on you, Jesus, on your kingdom, on the inheritance that we have, and just allow us to be honest with ourselves this morning and think about where we are in life. Thank you for all you have done, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Sergio.
made me think of a story that I was thinking about. This family who I'd heard about that was driving through Florida, and as they were driving through Florida, they came to this place to have some breakfast, and they stopped at this restaurant, and all around them as they were driving, there were orange groves like crazy everywhere, just sprawling all over the place. And they came into this breakfast place, and they ordered pancakes, and they ordered eggs, and they ordered bacon, and everything that you want at a breakfast time. And he says to the waitress, "Can I get a glass of orange juice?" Driving through this county, and there's just orange trees everywhere, and I want some orange juice. And she says, "I'm sorry, but I can't get you orange juice." And he's dumbfounded and just says, why can't you get me orange juice? And she says, "Because our machine is broken." And sometimes it's a lot like that in our Christian life. There's Christian things all around us. There's Bibles in our homes. There's all sorts of things that are there readily available for us. But we think that there's one certain thing that we need, or one aspect of our life that we need in order to be just right for Christ, or just and that aspect of our life is broken. And we just can't get it, can't understand it. The Spirit of God is all around us. All around us. And it doesn't matter what soil you may believe you are right now, that soil can be tilled, it can be fixed, it can be fertilized, it can be healed, and God has the power to be able to do that. Thank you for bringing that message this morning to us. It's an exciting time. The Bible says the harvest is white. It is ready. It is ready to be harvested, and it's ready, and there are people out there that are just needing to hear the gospel. That's what they need, and so it's our job as disciples to do just that: share the gospel, and allow that seed to be planted deep within us. So thank you, Sergio, for that. I do have an event that's coming up that Franklin Graham is encouraging people to go and pray on the steps of the Capitol, and it is, what's the date on it? Tuesday the 28th at noon. If you're interested, or if you're able to take a lunch break or whatever and head down to the Capitol steps, there's going to be an event where Christians will gather and they'll pray for this nation. Yeah, it's nationwide, and so it's not just here in Salem, it's nationwide. And so if you're available to do that, just meet down at the Capitol steps and pray for our nation, pray for our state. Lord knows we need it. Right? All right. Okay. Any thoughts, any questions, any comments that you want to make? Anything that the Lord maybe brought to your attention this morning that you want to share? Don't be shy. No? Yes. Right. Be patient. She's saying she's experienced, you know, when Sergio's like, what soil are you? You know, so you may be thinking, you know, it's just the same. I'm every kind of soil. I've gone through, and it is really that key, I think, phrase at the end, that perseverance, right? It's that perseverance in order to get to that seed-bearing, fruit-bearing kind of plant that God has called us to become. Thanks for that. Anyone else have any comments? Yeah. Speak loudly. Right. Right. I think I kind of fall into that sometimes, right? Where it's like, you think that you're planted in good soil, you've produced fruit, but oftentimes a lot of people who are in ministry forget that this is a cyclical, seasonal thing. This isn't like, oh, I produced fruit once, right? It's like weeds are going to grow up among the fruit-bearing plants, right? I mean, weeds are going to grow up around the fruit-bearing plants. Rocks are going to get thrown into your soil. You know, all of that stuff, it requires that tending and making sure that that soil is continually fruit-bearing, yeah, and healthy. Yeah, that's good. Right. Sure. Yeah. Right. A part of our spiritual maturity, a part of that fruit that's being produced in us is the spiritual gifts, right? It's the love, joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the self-control, right? It's all of, right, yep. It's that spiritual maturity, yeah, right, yeah. I think that that's awesome, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. That is the fruit of the Spirit, is that ability to forgive, that spiritual maturity that comes with Jesus. So praise God. Amen. Amen. It's good. The Holy Spirit's awesome, right? I mean, the Holy Spirit is just doing work and continually, never losing ground and never losing momentum. The Holy Spirit is just strong and powerful and exciting. And so amen for that, right? Amen for that. Jesus is awesome. Any other thoughts? Comments? No? All right. You guys ready for the rest of the day? Ready for a nap later? Yeah, me too. I'm all over that. So praise God for the sunshine finally. I had my roof torn off this last week because it was supposed to be just cool, not rainy. And so now we've had some nice buckets in our upstairs catching some water. So I'm really thankful to the Lord for no rain today. So let's keep praying for that. So let's stand together as we close in prayer. Jesus, we desire to be spiritually mature, and in order to be spiritually mature, Lord, we know that we need to be planted in good soil. And Lord, I just pray that Way of Life Fellowship would be a place that would be tilling good soil, the place that would be fertilizing and growing and doing the things that are necessary in order to see spiritual growth and spiritual fruit take place, Lord, in the lives of those here at Way of Life Fellowship. Lord, we know that that work is done by you and done by you alone. And so, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just work and empower in each one of us just a desire to live a life that is spiritually deep, spiritually mature, a life that is honoring and pleasing to you. Lord, may we be real and authentic about our faith, Lord. And Father, I just pray that we would be honest, both with you and with ourselves, just claiming that we are broken people that are in desperate need of a Savior. And Lord, you have provided us that Savior. Father, we are unworthy. We are sinners, and we have fallen short of your glory countless times. And Lord, you have rescued us, redeemed us, set us free by the power of Jesus and through your Holy Spirit. Father, it is in Jesus' name that we praise you and we thank you today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Love you.